In today's Mishnah, we learn the third and fourth Mishnah from the 14th Perek Masechta Zvachim. The Mishnah begins, Mechusar Zman, Bein Begufo, Bein Bebaalav. So if you remember in yesterday's Mishnah, we learned that if in a situation we have a Mechusar Zman, meaning the Korban was not fit for being offered now, but will eventually be offered, we saw a debate between the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon said if someone offered that Korban, but it wasn't yet ready to be offered, one would have violated a negative prohibition for offering outside the Beit HaMikdash, whereas Chachamim said he would be completely patur and be punished with karet or lashes. So Mishnah says that when talking about this Mechusar Zman, it's with respect to either the gufo, meaning the korban itself, like we've discussed already in the previous Mishnah, cases where the korban was, for example, newly born, and you have to wait till the eighth day before it can be offered. Also, Bein Beba'alav, meaning the Mechusar Zman, this concept can apply to the person to bring the Korban as well, as we'll see in this Mishnah. Mishnah says, Ezum Mechusar Zman Beba'alav. So, provide an example. One example, or the examples are, Hazav v'Hazava v'Yoled to Motzora, Shekribu Chatanam v'Hasham Bechutz. So, all these cases, the Zava, Zava, this is referring to a man, a woman with irregular emissions, Yoled, a woman who just gave birth, and the Motzora, which is, again, the person who had this spiritual affliction that manifests itself physically with, for example, if it's tzarat on the skin, it's like a white mark. All these cases is that they don't bring the korban immediately. They have to count a certain number, basically in all cases 7 days, and then they bring various korbanot in each of the cases. Sometimes they bring a chatat and olah, and when we learn about each of the zav, zava, yoled, and matzora, yoled, I think we've discussed already a little bit, we'll learn about them in much more detail. But the common thread, and just to make it simple to understand this Mishnah, is that they cannot offer this korban too early. They have to wait till the eighth day. So we have a situation where these individuals are Mechusar Zman. So therefore, she'ekrivu chatatam v'hashamam b'chutz, if they offered their sin offering or the guilt offering outside during the days where they're counting these 7 days, then the Mishnah says that that would be a perfect example of Mechusar Zman, and they would be pturin, they would be exempt. Because these korbanot are not ra'ui, they're not fit to be offered inside the Beit HaMikdash. However, olotehem v'shalmeihem b'chutz, but if they offered their olah offerings, these are the fully burnt offerings, this is referring to most of the cases in the shlamim when it comes to the nazir, which is before the completion of the term of his nazirut, those korbanot would be different. That is because the olah and shlamim can be brought voluntarily. So these korbanot, despite the fact that would not satisfy his obligation with respect to, or her obligation with respect to, these cases of zav, zava, yoled, and matzora, and we've just added a nazir, nonetheless, they can still be offered inside in a voluntary manner. Consequently, if someone took these olah and shlamim and offered them outside, then they would be chayavim, they would have violated this prohibition. Let's continue. Hama'ale mi basar chatat, mi basar asham, or basar koche koche. So if someone offered outside on a bizbeach, outside the azara, some meat from the chatat, which is normally consumed by the kohanim, or the meat from a asham, the parts that are consumed by the kohanim as well, or basar koche koche, other koche koche where the meat is consumed, what would that be? That would be kivsei atzeret, which is a shalmi tzibur. These are the lambs that are brought on Shavuot. They're still defined as koche koche, despite the fact they're referred to as a shlamim. And umibisar kochi kalim, we're referring to other korbanot whose meat is consumed, like a shlamim. Umotara omer, this is the remaining of the omer offering, meaning it commits, it was performed, a small amount is separated, and the remainder is given to the kohanim. Ushtea lechen, these are the two loaves of bread that are brought on Shavuot, along with these kivsei atzeret, which we made reference to above. The lechem hapanim, this is the show bread on the shulchan from Shabbos to Shabbos and given to the kohanim to consume. Ushayer and menachot, this is the remaining of a mincha offering. Remember, when it comes to this meal offering, that's either from wheat or sometimes from barley, the remaining amounts are given to the kohanim to consume. So if anyone performed any of these processes we just mentioned outside, then they would be exempt. Why? Because none of these parts are actually fit for offering. They're generally consumed by kohanim. Except for the basar kodesh kalim, which could be consumed by the owners. Therefore, since they're not fit for offering inside, therefore, as we've explained previously, if someone tried to offer it outside, they would not have violated the prohibition. Because it says, she'yale ola ozevach. Just as an ola is fit for offering on mizbeach, so too only those things that are fit for offering to the mizbeach qualify for this prohibition. Next. Hayotzek habolel hapotet hamoleach. You're referring to different processes that are done with mincha offerings. We learn menacha, we'll learn about the difference between the different mincha offerings, which is the next masechet, all that we're going to learn about very soon. So otzek is if they poured oil as part of the mincha offering, or the bolel, they mixed it with oil, or potet, sometimes they would take the mincha offering, break it into small parts, and hamoleach, which is they poured salt onto this mincha offering, or onto the meat of korbanot. Hameinif or magish, if someone waved a mincha offering or they brought a klut to the mizbeach as part of the process, that is normally done inside. They do all these things outside. Next, hamesader et hashulchan, or they set up a shulchan outside the azara and they put the lechem apanim on it, which is the 12 showbreads. The hameitiva tenirot, or they fix the wicks and the oil of the furtum is nerot of the menorah, did that outside. Or the hakometz, and someone did commits of the mincha offering. Again, that is where they take a small amount out, 3 fingers full, separating from the mincha offering. V'hamekevel damim, or they collect the blood in the clay sharet. All these things are done outside the Beis HaMikdash. Then we say, well, outside the Azara, we say patra, they're exempt. Why? Because the pasuk refers to asher ya'ale ola ozevach. It refers to the ha'ala, meaning the offering, which is the end, the gemar, the completion of this offering of the korban. So therefore, once again, only those things that complete the offering of a korban, if that's performed outside, would one have violated prohibition. All these other things are processes along the way. So Mishnah says, ein chavim also lo mishum zarut, meaning if a zar, a non-kohen, performs avodah in the Beit HaMikdash, the Torah says that such an individual is, it says, Hazara Karev Yumat, which actually is understood as being it's Mite Bidei Shemayim. It's not a death penalty that's executed by Betin, but something that will be, it's a punishment from the heavens instead. So Mishnah understands it's only those things that are Gemar Avodah, if Hazara did it, would there be Chai Mite Bidei Shemayim. Granted, if they did any of the other earlier processes, it would still invalidate the Korban. Nonetheless, this Mite Bidei Shemayim only applies to the Gemara Avodah as well. Similarly, lo mishum tuma, lo mishum chusar begadim, ve lo mishum ruchutz yadayim v'raglayim. Likewise, if a kohen is tameh, or he's not wearing all the required garments, or he hasn't washed his hands and feet as required prior to engaging Avodah, once again, it's only when it comes to these processes that are the Gemara Avodah, if he then did so, either being tameh, not wearing the required clothing, or not washing his hands and feet, would he be punishable with mita bidei shemayim. Whereas, any of the previous processes, once again, yes, it would be a problem, it would invalidate the korban, but it wouldn't be a punishable mitzvah b'dei shemayim. Let's now the Mishnah Dalet. Now, having discussed all these prohibitions and all the laws regarding offering a korban outside the Beit HaMikdash, what we're going to learn in today's Mishnah, and continue in tomorrow and the day after, is go through a history of when korbanot could be offered outside the Beit HaMikdash or Mishkan, and when they became prohibited to do so. So, sort of review history of these laws as they changed by way of the Torah telling us. And it's all based on psukim. It's not just a historical way things evolved. So Mishnah says, Ad shelo hukam ha-mishkan, prior to the Mishkan being erected, haya ha-bamot mutarot, people would have their own private mizbeach, this small, referred to as bamot, the avodah be-bechorot. And who would perform the avodah on this bamot? It would be the bechorot. As it says, v'yishlach et na'arei b'nei Yisrael, ve'alo alot v'yizbechu zvachim. It refers to the na'arei b'nei Yisrael. This understood as being the avodah was done by the bechor, the firstborn. However, mishu kama mishkan, once the mishkan was erected, this is in the midbar, in the desert prior to Am Yisrael coming into Eretz Yisrael, we say ne'esru habamot. Already from that point, the private mizbechot were made asur, and all the korbanot had to be brought to the Ohel Moed, to the Mishkan, because it says specifically in the Pasuk, Vel Petach Ohel Moed Lo Hivyo. The one who didn't bring the korban to the Mishkan, jumping to the end of the Pasuk, it says, V'nichrat ha'isha hu mekerav amo, that it will get punishable with the karet. So that's when the first time we had this prohibition coming into effect, that is punishable by karet. Similarly, another difference between when the avodah was focused at the Mishkan, that is the avodah b'kohanim. The kohanim, they were the ones that engaged in the avodah, and not the b'chorim anymore, the firstborns. It says, kodshe kadashim na'achlim lifnim min ha'klaim. Similarly, when it came to the kodshe kodshim, again, the chatat and asham, the work consumed by the kohanim, Kadhi also mentions the mincha offering as well, that was consumed within the curtains of the Ohel Moed, which is parallel to what we've been discussing as being within the temple courtyard. And kodshe kalim, however, the other korbanot, like a shlamim, korban Torah and the like, that in the times of the Beis HaMikdash were consumed in Yerushalayim, when it comes to in the times of the Midbar, in times of the Mishkan, they were b'chol machane Israel. The whole area where Am Yisrael were dwelling, the korban could be consumed there. Those are Mishnah today. And tomorrow we'll learn about what happened after God to Israel, how things changed once again.